Good evening, everyone. Whew. I'm glad I said good evening. I just picture me saying good morning, and it's not because I'm an international speaker and getting it mixed up. It's just I find it hard to tell a difference between morning and evening. But before I start, I just want to say what an absolute privilege it is to be here. This morning, it was just so nice being here. It felt like a home from home. And one of the things that I love to boast in Christ about back in Merthyr is our relationships with other churches, with other denominationals. And I just think we've really got a great strength of that. And a lot of that is due to you guys here at Holland Road, where years and years ago, I think it's about 14 years ago when it first started a partnership with David from Merthyr Vale, is that right? He's in Merthyr Tydfil at the time. Troy Deroux, sorry. And through that, it's just been an absolute blessing to us in Merthyr. And to be honest, it's actually forced us to work together as we welcome you guys and our friends from New Hope as well. And I just want to say before I start that this church is a great, great church. And sometimes I think we don't appreciate what we got sometimes. And this church has been such a blessing to many, many, many people, not just in Wales, but all across the nations as well. And I just really sense this morning and this evening that this is a church that God releases. I think he releases people, he releases resources, he releases finances and ministries. And it's not just worldwide. And just as I see all these lovely flags up here, the flag of Brighton is rooted in this, and Hove is in this church. And I just want to really, really commend you guys and thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything you've done for myself and for St. Luke's and for our churches in Merthyr. And we really do appreciate you guys. Thank you. Before I start, turn around to the person next to you, have a good look at them and say, wow, isn't God amazing? Okay, now turn around to the person next to you and say, wow, God is amazing, as if you mean it. Come on. We've made in God's image. Excellent. Well, this evening, do I read the Bible upside down? Might as well with my English level, but never mind. Do I get three strikes, Phil?
Okay,
all right, excellent. That's one. This evening, I've been given free rein as such. Philip said I've got 2 hours. Is that right? Or what's the time? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, is that right? Is it? I should have provided you sleeping bags. No, this evening I'm going to just share a little bit on God's will, God's plan for us. And God sometimes gives me a lot of subjects I don't know a great deal about, but I guess that's what it's all about. I think, you'd probably be bored out of your head if I started talking about motorbikes, something I know a fair bit about. But I just want to just explore the whole thing about God's will and God's plan for us all. And I think sometimes it's quite difficult to actually pin down what God's will is for us, for me individually. I think sometimes we even treat it like a lost treasure where we've got to seek high and low for it. We need to look for that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. This amazing, fantastic, where no problems happen, role that we're going to take in life. And I think sometimes also we tend to maybe wrestle with the whole deal of God's will. Maybe there's something inside us that is leading us and we're just wrestling with it. Maybe it's just a sense of fear and maybe it's just a sense of feel, well, who could do that? Who could I do that? And sometimes it's easier to see God's will in other people. And so for us, I think the main important thing is that God has a plan. God has a plan for each and one of us. Not only that, we are one. We are God's plan. We are God's will. How do we know that? The basics of why we're here. Because Jesus died on the cross, went to the grave, and rose again so we can have a personal relationship with God. And whether we feel it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not, whether we actually feel happy about it, we are important to God. We are loved, and we are worthy of that. However, when we look at our will for God, God's will for us, sometimes we try to define it a little bit. Sometimes I think there's pressure to actually find out what's the outworking of God's will for each and one of us. And sometimes I think we're forever trying to match our giftings to be exposed into our career. Or sometimes we're even just wanting to allow so much of God to shine in us and our abilities that sometimes we can get confused. Sometimes we don't even want to be labeled as employed, but called. Sometimes maybe we think that we want to do the Lord's work, so that means working in the ministry, in the church. And so I think all these things can be very confusing for us. And sometimes as we seek, I think we all pretty much at some point in our Christian life come to this great scripture, a very inspiring scripture, and it's in Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Great scripture. Really encouraging. Let me read that again. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And I think the common word normally jumps out to all of us. It jumps out to me. Is that word prosper. Plans to prosper you, declares the Lord. And I don't know about yourself, but I've done it myself, where as soon as I get that word prosper, I just take it, I grab it, I try and wear it. And then not only do I do that, I also add on the world's meaning to it. So it could be financially prosperity, it could be from possession prosperity, it could be socially, name, statement, placing, and all these things that are really, really great in themselves. But just as Andy said this morning about righteousness first seeking the kingdom. And I just think for myself, I needed to be reminded about this. And when I think of prosper, I think one of the easiest things for me is thinking of the gifts of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And then that one right at the end, self-control. And I think that all of God, part of God's will for me and for all of us is having that love, that unconditional love from God. Having that peace, Prince of Peace dwelling in each and one of us. Having just that patience of just looking beyond yourself and looking at other people first. Having that kindness of knowing it's not about just collecting us. It's about whatever God gives us, releasing them resources. It's about goodness, character. It's about that faithfulness that God is God. And God is good all the time. And that we are part of His will, part of His family. And then the gentleness as well, and that brilliant dollop of self-control, that one that's at the end that probably needs to go in the front as well. And all these things I think I need to put on my heart and really, really understand. That's what it means about prosperity. And I can remember when back in about 1999, I've been a Christian for about 2 years, and I know God opened the door for me. I got this amazing job at Sony, and I can remember in the interview, I didn't think I got it. I I thought they thought I was a nutcase because I opened the door in the room and I let Jesus in first. And they looked at me, then I opened, put the chair out, let Jesus, sit Jesus in there, because I was so wanting to do what God had planned to me. And then when I got the job, I forgot all about that. And I was wondering, why am I getting promotion? Why am I getting recognition? Why am I getting the package that I deal, the company car, the more expenses and traveling around and stuff like that. And I can remember just walking up the stairs once and thinking, Lord, what's going on? What's going on? I remember Lord saying simply to me, I did not place you here for that. And from that day on, I had such freedom, such peace, such joy, such patience about why I was getting overlooked for promotion and things like that. Because I believe God knew, God gave me the idea of prosperity. I had it wrong. But I believe more important than this scripture, which I tend to skip, is the words before. For I know the plans I have for you. The Lord is declaring to us every single day that he has a plan for each one of us. And the plans itself are bigger than any prosperity. The process, that's the plans that he's got, is our relationship with God. And it's for us not to try and be blinded by success, but just dwell in the process of that, that God has a plan. That God, God Almighty, the creator of all, actually has time, actually has grace to actually consider me as my personal plan in life. And that is amazing. And sometimes for me, I look at sometimes my mindset, and I sometimes go ahead of myself and I look at the finished product. I look at the goal. And sometimes I think about an athlete. I don't know, but I haven't studied athletes, but I don't think I've ever seen an athlete practicing, celebrating, or practicing getting the medal on here, the ceremony, the actual end product. But they certainly practice the journey. They practice of who they are being. And for me, one of the things that I really say in our church is about being, not doing. Also, the other thing about the danger of focusing on the end product is a lot of us may not have that clear calling that we need to, this certain role in community, this certain role in various family situations, this role in church. And I think the danger is if we don't know, or we don't know that end product, we think maybe we're failing slightly. Maybe we think, even dare I say it, that we're inferior to others according to God and God's favor and love over us. And maybe we feel we're doing something wrong. And I just want to say from here is that we cannot, in my opinion, we cannot do anything for God's favor. We cannot pursue anything to do to gain God's love, to God's power. However, we can do all and everything from God's favor. We can do all and everything from God's love. And we can do all and everything from God's power. And for me with this scripture, one thing that God really highlighted for me is the actual two verses afterwards, 12 and 13. I'll read them to you. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And in 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And so for me, it's almost as Jesus turns things upside down, almost for me to actually work this scripture out, 12 and 13 should be there in front of me. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me, and when you seek me with all your heart. Call upon me, pray for me, seek me, find me. Isn't that an amazing journey with God? Isn't that an incredible will to have, a lifestyle to have, to call upon him, to pray with him, to seek him, and we will find him. And then you've got the small print, with all our heart. And it's for me, it's almost God is saying, I know the plans for you. I know the calling that's placed on your heart. Come, Come to me and hear it, and I will tell you. And we get all caught up. We get caught up with busyness sometimes. We all get caught up with the prosperity maybe of it. The hope and future that God has promised for us, we ain't even got time for sometimes. We don't have time to call upon him, pray for him, seek him and find him. And sometimes I believe God is just saying, you are it. Just be. Dwell with me. Yield to me. Come to me. Pray with me. Fast with me. Put things to one side. Just seek me. And you will find me. And for me, throughout that verse, I love the plans of hope and future. But there's almost, like I said, a small print on there. With all my heart. And are we seeking? It's a challenge for me. Am I seeking God with all my heart? Am I wholeheartedly seeking, praying, calling and finding God in my situation? Am I continually plugged in, stored in with God? What are my heart's desires? What are your heart's desires? Are you seeking God? Are you wholeheartedly seeking God? Are you wholeheartedly trying to find God in all situations? And I think with myself as well, with the whole thing about a heart's desire, I think in the past, I think you're either one extreme or the other. I think either you're so focused on yourself, or maybe focused on hearing from God and doing God's will for yourself, that sometimes you tend to maybe forget about your natural responsibilities of where God has placed you in your family, in your school, in your workplace, wherever it may be. Or you could be on the other side where actually you may feel a bit too humble. You may say, I don't know if really God could use me. Afraid of maybe failing, afraid of maybe making mistakes. Or you may think, oh, that's calling too big to me, it's too small, or too many excuses. And I think for us, this is why it's so important just to seeking, yielding to God. And I've been reminded of the scripture, Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. And so if we're saying we have no hope in our heart could be sick. If we don't have a dream fulfilled, a dream fulfilled is life. What is our fulfilled life? Could it be Jeremiah 29 for us? Is God saying that we need to seek God more? We need to be in God's presence. Don't worry about the outcome. Think of the process where God is just using us. God is placing us. God is being God in our calling. And I think for me, it's a great verse just to pray on. It's a great verse just to dwell on. And especially with 12 and 13, again, where we're just asking, then you will call upon me. Lord, I call upon you. Come, I pray with you, Lord. And that promise of that he will listen to us. And if we seek and find him with all our heart. And so when we consider our calling, do we know what it is to prosper? Do we know and believe that God has amazing plans for us? Plans of hope. Plans of future. Are our plans to call, to pray, to seek, to find with all our hearts? Be true to the things that God has placed on our hearts. Or is this just too simple? Is it just easier said than done? And for me, with me and Catherine, over the years, we've been fortunate to have a few of your time team guys over. And it's such a wonderful, wonderful example of where the church is providing people to maybe take a step back, not having so many of the responsibilities, and just seeing where God is seeking, where they are seeking God in their lives. And it's time to have a time out. But when I've been thinking this, I can't help considering the mysteries of God. And when thinking about this in Job, that wonderful scripture in Job 11:7, can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? And I think for me, this has been really a key for me when looking at people's will or my God's will for myself and for other people in that. And that is the mystery of God. And I think the key to understanding God's will is that we can't assume that we know everything about how God works in all of our areas of our lives. And I think for me, this is so exciting to have the mystery of God as well. And this should encourage us. It should excite us as we journey along to God. We should be adaptable. We should be, expectant, like God is going to use. And this is why we need to seek and yield God. However, I think with the mystery of God, it can be a bit frustrating and it can be quite confusing if we feel we're going round and round a little bit. But surrendering to God's will, to God's need, is faith. And I believe God's will for us all, the mystery of God, and faith cannot be separated. That is what we're about. That is who we are in God. And I think as Christians, we sometimes try to formalize God. Sometimes we try to rationalize God. And one of these things I think for myself is certainly maybe in God's will. And the whole thing about the mystery of God, we cannot box God up. Our brains are not capable to actually work out everything and all with God. And that is so encouraging. And in Hebrews 11 verse 1, I just read this out, I think. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I read it again. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So in other words, faith is seeing the unseen. Maybe the unseen in our physical eyes, in our physical minds. And in other words, it's believing in the unbelievable to the world. It's actually believing that the impossible is possible with God. It's declaring and being sure of God's character, of who he is. And God's will is about that. God's will is about knowing, believing and living beyond what we see and what we sense through our human eyes. It's about God's knowing, believing and living. It's about his kingdom. It's about his character invading in us. It's about us being his presence. It's about us being donkeys for Jesus, carrying his presence. And ultimately, it's what he sees and senses. And that's why it's called God's will. However, times we can just say, oh, well, whenever anything happens, that's God's will. Or that character that people pull out. All things happen for a reason. And I think certainly for me, the truth is, God can use any situation. He is the name above all names, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He rules. And the other thing, he doesn't just show up. He's not just doing things when we acknowledge it, when we see it. He's this everlasting God, ever-present God, always working, always molding and shaping us. The other thing I think with God's will as well, and one that I really need to remind myself, especially with the place that I'm in as well, and Gethsemane Egg, as Philip has said, there's quite a lot of deprivation. You can be surrounded with people that seem to just want to take and take and take. And that's great. Maybe that's God's will. And maybe that's what we're there for. But what I've learnt is try not to be dictated. Try not to be molded. Try not to be shaped by my circumstances, by the things that I'm seeing earthly around me, what I see. However, trying to be dictated, trying to be shaped and molded by who God is and what he sees. And that is part of faith. That is what we are. If we don't seek God, if we don't yield to God, if we don't find God, if we don't come to him, we can quite easily believe is what we get served up. That is our calling. That is God's will. This is what he placed. But we need to come back to God. We need to wash ourselves away from the worldly things that we get thrown at and constantly just be redressed by God, reclothed by God and reclothed by Jesus' sacrificial blood. And that is faith. We need to believe what we see, what we're dictated by is what God sees. And that is why we need to yield to God. And for me, one of the amazing stories and examples for me is this very famous piece of scripture and story, which we all know in Acts 9:1 about Saul's conversion on the road to Damascus. Let me just read this, if I may. Acts 9. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for the letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found there any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there, speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind, and he did not eat or drink anything. And this is a great, great story. And this is Paul, as we know, who's written so much in the New Testament, where we glean so much of who God is and who we are in God from Paul's amazing experience. Through that transformational experience with God, through that conversion of Saul to Paul. And sometimes it makes me think, was Paul qualified and experienced? From the world point of view, would anyone appoint him to be this amazing man of God that led through Europe and Asia, the whole church, the birth of it? Is this the man that they would entrust the word of God? I don't think so. I don't even think Paul was the best candidate. But in one way, not belittling anything of Paul, but it makes no difference. He had an encounter with God. He had a time with the Lord that was so transformational. As we know, the old has gone and the new has come. And for me, that is the beauty of looking at a situation through God's eye. God knew the plans and purposes that he had for Paul. And it took Paul, or Saul at the time, to actually yield him. He had a bit of help, yes. He was blind for 3 days. And I always wonder, why was he blind? And for me, I think that's what it took God for Paul to actually see God, to make him blind through his earthly eyes so he could see through his spiritual eyes. And what about us? How did we get here today? Was it just like Paul's journey, where we probably feel the least qualified, the least experienced, the least likely of person, that are past too deep, too far, too complex, too ungodly. Are we really the best candidate to do what we're actually doing now? And for me, and I'm not just saying this, I have to pinch myself the way God has used me. And I'm not saying that, you know, this is some special calling or anything that I've got. But standing here and just sharing is just so, so unlike me, to be honest. I'm probably the least educated in this room. You know, I can't even master English, and you know, it's lovely being here in England where I can actually pronounce half of the words and places. In Wales, it's just, yeah, here, there, everywhere. I can't even read them. But, or is it because we've encountered this amazing God, that we've had this transformational love, this transformational experience with God, where we've put the past behind us and the new afresh? Do we need to do that now? Do we need to actually understand that God has amazing plans for us, and that actually we could be getting in the way with it? Because we're making too many excuses. We're looking too much through our physical eyes, not our spiritual eyes. Do we need to be blinded by God's love? Well, what about us as a church? And you know, last time I was here was about 2-3 years ago. And it's just amazing just looking at even just the buildings. And for me, I don't know too much what's gone on with number 65, is it? But it seems to me there was almost forced avenues you had to go down. And I'm sure there was many a time where people say, oh, I wouldn't do it that way. No, we shouldn't be doing that. We want to knock it down. We want to put this excellent thing up. And then sometimes you think, oh, well, you know, it's the opposition. And then you may say, well, why he's in charge? Why this place? Why don't we just move? But actually, sometimes we forget that actually, once it's all done now, wow, what plans, what will, what purposes God has for this church. And I'm sure there's been mysteries of God within that. Why did it happen that way? Why did we have to do it that way? Why did we have? But the fact is that sometimes we forget that God is here. God has a mission. God has a will. God has a plan for us and this church. And many of us, how many of us are believing like that today? The God's will for ourselves. And sometimes the outworking can be straightforward, like Paul maybe, or not so straightforward as Paul's eye, or it can be just so straightforward. But all we have one, I think that's the main thing we need to remember, which I'd love to encourage today, is that we all have amazing and fantastic and incredible plans for each and one of us. And for us, God's love is the greatest power of all. His love can overpower our shortfalls. His love can overpower our past. His love is overpowering our mindsets. If we come to him, seek him, be renewed by the renewal of our mind. And this thing, this scripture just really sums up this evening for me, which God's placed in my heart, and that's Colossians 2, verse 6. To 10. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principle of this world, rather than on Christ. Are we today receiving him? Are we continuing in him? Are we being rooted and built up in him? Are we strengthened in faith and overflowing with thankfulness? Are we being pulled away, fooled by worldly and human thinking rather than Christ. I think that's a challenge for all of us tonight, tomorrow, to actually remember that God is this amazing man. God has amazing plans for each and one of us, for every man, every woman, every child for us. We're going to be rooted. We are rooted and built up in God. And for me, one of the things that I love to read about is George Müller. I don't know if people's heard of George Müller. He's a German missionary in Bristol area, and created loads of orphanages. And one of the key things that he did, he never actually asked for money, but God just provided it and provided him. And the story goes that every time a child would be released back into the community from the orphanage, he'd tell them to hold their two hands out. He'd give them one a Bible and the other one a little coin, a penny. And he'd say to the child, if you use this, this will get you only so far. If you use the Bible, if you use God's will, God's in your life, this will take you to the end of the world. And this will give you this will give you amazing plans and purposes in your life. It's something like that. But it's just an illustration of here he is trying to equip the orphanages not to rely on worldly possessions, but to rely on godly wisdom, godly love, godly relationship. And I just wonder, how is God sending us out today, tonight? What has God placed in his hands? God has a will for us all. There may be, we may not be able to fathom them all. We may not be able to understand them. But we need to believe. We need to have that faith in these days to believe that God has an amazing and incredible plans and will for each and one of us. We just need to seek him. We need to come to him. We need to yield to him. But knowing that we are anchored, we are rooted in his love. We are rooted in his kingdom because he died on the cross for each and one of us. It's about his character and his relationship. So let us just bask, let us just dwell in knowing that God has amazing plans for us. And we may not know the finer details, and we may be a little bit unclear, maybe a bit confused. We may tend to look at things worldly. However, God declares that we are his children, that he has adopted us, that we, each and one of us, is his masterpiece. That if he had a museum, each and one of us would be at the center saying, here is my kingdom. Here is my glory. Here is my child. And ultimately, we are God's will. Let's pray. Lord, we just declare of your greatness this evening. We declare of your goodness. We declare of your character. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. And Lord, we just thank you for the will and the plans you have for each and one of us. And Lord, help us not to go chasing, not to go striving. But Lord, help us just to serve. Help us, Lord, just to yield. Help us, Lord, just to open our hearts this evening. And Lord, we just want to say, we're greedy for you, Lord. Lord, we need you. Lord, we want you. Lord, we just surrender to you. Lord, tonight, we want to be different. Lord, tonight, we just repent, Lord, of anything that we've put in front of you, Lord Jesus. And we come to you anew, and we come to you afresh, and we come with that confidence and knowing that you never turn your back on us. You never say to us, you've gone too far, son, daughter, you've messed it up too much. But Lord, you always come. coaching us. You always come. And for us to come to you and to kneel at your throne and just to be absorbed by you, just to soak you up. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you that your love never runs out, that you will be with us till the end of times. And Lord, we praise you. And Lord, we want to be people of thanksgiving. Lord, we want to start seeing more of you in our community, in our families, in our workplaces, with our neighbors, Lord, in our shops, Lord, in our cars, Lord Jesus, wherever we are, Lord, we want to see more of you, Lord, because we are part of your wonderful and amazing will and plans. And Lord, I just pray that each and one of us will just know how loved and lovable we are in your sight. I pray, Lord, that we'll just know, Lord Jesus, how great you are and how great your love is for each and one of us and how great your plans and purposes are for each and one of you and for this church here as well, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, and we praise you. More. More, Lord. More. We want to be transformed by only your transformational love. We want to be transformed by your power. We want to be exhumed by your favor. Come. Come, Lord. So we can be blessed to be a blessing. So that we can be this amazing salt and light that you've called us to be. So that we may be that lamp on the hill. Just shining and shining and shining and shining. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.